See, what happened to every one of us, we lost our identity when we were born into Adam. When Adam got separated from God, ever since that day, every man was born into Adam, not born into God. So what is flesh is of flesh. And you must be born. It's just very, I know some of you say that's so trivial and elementary, but it's very important we don't rush over the things that are so foundational. And make sure that everybody in this room understands that. That no one in this room was born into a healthy identity. When you were born of your mother, you were born into Adam. You had no clue who you were, and you were super needy, even emotionally and mentally, even when you were tiny newborn. Yeah? You had no idea who you were. I've been teaching this a lot lately. I want you to bear with me on this. The Bible talks a lot about believers and promises to a believer, and these signs follow those that believe, and the things I do, you'll do if you believe. Jesus mentions belief a lot. Belief is a very used word in the New Testament. Believe. And believer. And I say you better guard your believer. You better make sure that the right things decide what you believe. Because everybody's believing things. But what do you believe? What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about others? What do you believe about him? Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And they answered him. And then he said, but who do you say that I am? It's a question we all have to answer. Your answer to that question and what you realize about the answer to that question will reveal how you're going to walk him out. Yeah? This is what we don't understand. What we don't understand, and he's the potter and we're the clay. He breathed into dirt and dirt stood to its feet alive. That means we're all clay. From ashes to ashes, dust to dust, right? We're all clay. Do you understand we're clay? Okay, so clay isn't dominant. Clay is a yielder. There's no one in control of their life. Like it's the biggest lie in the planet. Well, yourself. You're not in control. You say, well, it's my life. It's never your life. Something's always deciding you. Something's always controlling you. You're not in control of yourself. There's something dominating your emotions, your belief system. And it's so destructive when it's apart from Christ. Anger, for instance, just frustration, anger. Anger just cuts somebody off. Every time you hear their name, it does something on the inside. 10 years go by, you hear their name, and that thing still see, you're clay. You're not in control. You're being manipulated and molded and shaped by something. Because you're clay. Well, it's my life. It's never been your life. It's always been designed to be his life in you. But if his life's not in you, something's in you deciding. I'm not just saying an evil spirit, a belief system, influence, memories, the past. Something is deciding who you are and how you are, even if it isn't Jesus. And I promise you, it's not just you. There's no one just driving the car of their life. If your life's a car, you're not driving it. Because you're clay. All clay does is yield. Is that fair? Boy, it's quiet. No, it's true. Come on, if you don't understand the love of God, then you'll live outside of love. So frustration, anger, you'll pick and choose first impressions. Oh, they get on my nerves. Oh, I like them. Oh, I'll just ignore them. Oh, you're clay. And you're being shaped by the things around you, and the pressure and the spinning and the wheel is life. And you got to get off of that thing and make sure you're on his wheel. You got to get in the potter's hand. You got to yield to the right pressure. You got to yield to the right wisdom. You got to yield to the right destiny and purpose. That's called relationship and unity with him. That's what Pastor was talking about having. You're the clay. But man, he's madly in love with me, and I'm clay. He wants to come in and live in me and have his way and fulfill everything he's ever desired and ever seen, everything he ever intended. Sin looked like it changed it, but it couldn't change him. So love never fails. Destiny's still in place and on track. It's for me to step into. The blood of Jesus is speaking better things, so I've lost nothing. I was born into Adam, but I'm still predestined to be adopted in as a son. God hasn't changed. Yay. So I ought to just jump in. Yeah? And live there and stay there. And don't believe anything outside of there. And surrender everything that ever was before there. The wisdom, the feelings, the emotions, don't agree with any of it. If it doesn't produce life, it can't be him. If it's not encouraging man springing forth, I can't be him. He came to give me life and life more abundantly. I don't even want something that just mellows me out and keeps me planing. I should be inspired. I should be encouraged. Because every day he loves me. Every day he paid the price to live inside of me and love through me. You get it? Come on. Don't get tricked into self-focused in your Christianity. You better stay kingdom focused, Christ focused. Focused on others. I said, there he is. Love God, love people. I looked across, saw that shirt. I said, I like it. Love God and love people. Here's the thing about loving people. You love your neighbor as your... If your identity's all messed up, your view of your neighbor ain't cool. If you love your neighbor as yourself, it's important you see yourself clear so you get a good look at your neighbor. Some of you don't like your neighbor because deep down in you really don't like you. See, if you understood everybody had the same destiny called his image. Some might work in missions. Some might have an amazing voice and just lead and be able to sing. I'm not that person, but I can do other things, right? There's some people can do different things. Some people have a heart for the homeless, children. Just go to the nations. There's all kinds of different calling, but man, we're all called to the same thing. We're all called to his image, to his love, and to shine as a light. That's priority. That's why we all have equal value in this room. That's why it's the biggest lie to have hot shots and low life, mountain and curb. Gutter. There's no such thing in the kingdom of God. Everybody's worth the same. It's not high talk. That's not inspirational speech. Come on. How do I know in my heart and am truly convicted to stand here with a mic with a camera running and say everybody has the same value because the same price was paid for every head? You don't pay the same price for every car. You don't pay the same price for every grill, every air conditioner. But the same price was paid for every human. Why? Because every human has the same purpose. His image, the same destiny to walk in love and shine as a light. It cost him the same for every person to buy and obtain every person. It cost the same price. He didn't have to shed an extra 2 quarts of blood to get Pastor Matt. Well, I'll pray about that. No, he didn't. The blood of Jesus is the blood of Jesus. Fair enough? It costs the blood of Jesus to redeem mankind. That means everybody's the same in the sight of God. Come on, you know that's true. Every piece of clothing is worth different. And you want something really bad. And every once in a while you'll stretch because you really want it. And you'll pay a little more than you thought because it's not crazy more. But there's some things you just say, yeah, I just got to change my appetite. I can find two of something that I like. And you ain't paying all that because you know it ain't worth that. But God puts himself, the Son of God puts himself in a woman and is born of her, takes on flesh, becomes a man to fulfill what man failed. That's pretty intense. That sounds like more than inconvenience. But he's not inconvenienced. And nobody takes his life, he freely gives it. He's madly in love with us. Come on, you pass your friend's driveway on the way to church and he calls you 3 miles after you're passed. You're wishing he'd have called you 3 miles sooner. And you'll still go back and get him, but usually it's with a sigh or now I'm going to be late or oh, I'll get you, man. No, it's no problem. It's okay. Look, man, I didn't mean to put you out. No, we're buds. I'll get you, man. You hang up. Oh, man, why didn't he call me? Oh, well, I'll get him. We're just talking about backtracking 3 miles at service time. Okay. Come on, I'm on you a little bit. It's Somebody asked you to help them on a weekend day, and it was a day you were going to do this or that, and you're feeling like, man, I should help. And they do. They don't even have nobody. And if we do it, sometimes we do it, but we don't do it with joy. He must really love us. Don't let anybody try to talk you out of this. For God so. It doesn't say for God was so frustrated and at wit's end, but yet so administrative and wise, he decided to pull out his ace card and finally send his son to hopefully clean up the mess of humanity. Oh, I'm so glad it doesn't say that. There's scriptures that say mercy triumphs over judgment. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. That love covers a multitude of sins that you overcome evil with. See why he's a good God? See why he's good even when your circumstances are crazy? Because he sent his son. So it makes him good. If you get that mixed up and you get tricked into that, he's not good thing. Well, then you won't have this. And the great potter won't be molding the clay. And when you close the door, you won't even be thinking, singing, I love you, Lord. You're full of questions. And you're wondering where he's been and why he didn't answer your prayer. And how come that didn't change? And how long do you got to pray? And when is it going to change? And now you're self-focused and self-centered and your view of God is skewed. Are you with me? I watch a lot of good-hearted people make that mistake. And they weigh God by their life. Instead of weigh their life by God. Don't get it backwards. Please don't get it backwards. Well, if God loved me, why? Shh, stop. You already got spite in your heart. That's already a challenge. You already think you got an answer and you're wrong. Not being mean. Well, you can't tell me he's good. If he was good, then how come? If he wasn't good, why'd he send his son? What gives us that ability to think like that is the fall of man. It's self-centeredness. It's you thinking for you apart from the kingdom and the goal of the kingdom. It's you thinking for you apart from the wisdom and the will of God. It's you taking on what Adam passed on, assessing him, judging him, convicting him in the court of your own mind and coming up with an assessment. Don't ever get tricked into that. If it's not producing life. You with me? Scripture actually teaches us we don't ever have to be discouraged and disappointed and dreading and fearful and fretting. Why? Because we're seeing in truth that truth keeps us free. In the hardest times, we understand things. And we see things for what they are. In the hardest times. In the hardest times, it's never a question of his love. That's been settled. We're rooted and we're grounded. That's really important that in the hardest times you have some things settled. You good with that? You guys are good with the gospel. You really are. You're a pretty easy crowd to compel. You just love him. But there's things he wants to glean. There's things he wants to sharpen. There's things he wants to clean up in our lives so we live more effective, so we stay consistent, so we don't sell out time that we don't have to sell because we're not for sale. We're bought with a price. So redeem the time. The days are evil. Sometimes a little bit of wrong thinking can buy out time. Sometimes it can put you in a mood and an attitude that's unproductive for months on end. Some people have lost years just thinking wrong. Redeem the time. Days are evil. Right? Walk in the light as he's in the light. So you got to look at Jesus, follow Jesus. Come on, don't anybody get tricked. Oh, this is going to be, I can say this. It came in my heart. I'm just going to take faith risk and say this. Don't get mad at me. I'm not being insensitive. I don't need to know your story right now, but watch this. Please don't get caught in feeling sorry for yourself. No matter what your story, I promise you that's not the answer, feeling sorry for yourself. Because all you'll do is surround yourself with a couple people that feel sorry for you, but that'll never make you better and it'll never take the pain away. You have to have a higher answer. than feeling sorry for yourself. Wonder if Jesus just felt sorry for himself for a day. Do you think he had the opportunity every day in the sense of happenings? Do you think that he had that scenario? I don't think he had that option in his heart because he's love. So he doesn't seek his own. He's not thinking for himself. Good answer. So if you're not thinking for yourself, how can you feel sorry for yourself? You see why it's always a trap? Because it means you're thinking for yourself. And now it has a platform. It has a landing strip. It has a birthing place. For heaven's sakes, don't keep it in a playpen and feed it a bottle and nurture it and let it grow. Don't let it get 5, 7. Don't let it become a teenager. Some people let that thing get fully grown. I know good-hearted Christians that don't realize what they're doing. They start feeling sorry for themselves. If you're not thinking for yourself, you can't feel sorry for yourself. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, loving not your own life unto death. If you've denied yourself, picked up your cross and you're following him. If you put your hand to the plow and you're not looking back. Feeling sorry for yourself is never an option. And if the temptation comes, these truths you're living by, cut it off before it ever has a place to even try to plant. Don't make it normal. Don't call it natural. Don't let anybody come and say, oh, it's just a part of life. Everybody goes through it. You know why they would say that? Because they can't relate to what I'm saying. So their answer is their own life. You can't preach beyond what you're living. So you be careful about that. I have noticed this over the years that we compare ourselves among ourselves. Paul said that's not wise. And sometimes the highest revelation we have is our own experience. And then we make that our truth. And then there's no grace being applied through faith to change our experience. So we are stuck in what we believe we are. Your emotions come into that category and everything. Who knows that God can transform your whole emotional expression when he changes the motive in your life for living? If God takes self-centeredness out of your life, then all the emotions that flow through self-centeredness have no platform. Did you get this? This is why if anybody's going to come after me, Matthew 16, the first thing you got to do is deny yourself. You got to get rid of the platform for all the perversity that we've all experienced. Our emotions have been haywire, guys. We don't know whether we're coming or going. We're living to be happy and spend a lot of time sad. We're living for moments of joy and we get depressed. Is this all about us? It's a self-focused survival thing that's just, it's not true. It's not even why we're here. It's just me trying to make it, me trying to get by, me trying to get through, surround the right people around me, praying for the right connections. Come on, all that's frivolous. Get rid of the motive of your life. If the motive of your life isn't seek first the kingdom of God and live for the glory of God and lay down your life for others, you're never going to walk in freedom. You're going to stay self-focused, self-conscious, self-centered. You're going to need people to build your esteem instead of find your esteem through the truth. Come on, Christianity and insecurity have nothing in common. Christianity and low esteem have nothing in common. Christianity means little Christ-like one. I would say he was pretty solid. You got to make sure you didn't buy into a gospel that's for your sake and not his name's sake. There'll be no character in that gospel. There'll be no integrity. There'll be compromise. There'll be failure and frustration. You even blame God for things. If you're a Christian for your sake, you're in trouble. Don't even try to live it. Just drop it now. Look, I'm sorry if somebody coaxed you in with fancy promises and wooed you in to get you to God for what he can do for you. No, we need to bring you to God for who he can make you become. Not about blessings, it's about transformation. I promise you, transformation is the blessing. If the gospel can get me free from me, I'll realize I just got delivered from my greatest enemy. And all of a sudden, I have a whole different look at you. See, when I'm living for me, you got to be my problem. If God would just tweak you, life would be better. Self-righteous and deceived when you live that way. No, he's been wanting to get inside of me for a long time and change the eye I look through. So that when I look at you, I see what's always been there, what he's seen from the beginning. What he saw when he hung there and said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing.
Yay. Isn't that awesome? You think he's madly in love with us?
You got to receive it. Please receive it tonight. Please don't let anyone or anything lie to you. Your life is worth the blood of Jesus to God the Father. Your creative value and your destiny in him from the beginning is what makes you worthy. He saw fit to send his son in due time. He sent his son. He was a root that came up out of dry ground. He came to his own and his own knew him not, and he didn't get offended. He came to his own and his own received him not. He didn't get offended. He wept with compassion and realized they're sheep without a shepherd. He was face to face with the fall of man, man that he made for his own image, and they couldn't even recognize the one that created him. He stood right in front of them and they didn't have a clue who he was. In fact, they killed him for his language. They were so estranged. When he called God his Father in John 5, that's worth death. Bad enough you healed on the Sabbath. Now you just blasphemed and called God your Father. Who do you think you are? Oh, it's in your Bible, John 5. But when they ask him how they should pray, what did he say? When you pray, pray saying. Well, he's trying to bring the truth back to the earth, huh? They're so estranged that when he called God his Father, they thought it was worth dying. And then when he said, how do we pray? He said, when you pray, pray saying. What's he saying? Look, guys, you're so confused. He's not only my Father, he's your Father too. He said in Matthew 23:9, don't call any man on earth your father. You have one father. Don't call any man on earth your father. That means don't identify, find your value, your heritage through one biological man called dad. That doesn't mean you sinned the last week when you sent a Father's Day card. Call no man on earth your father. It means don't regulate and identify your life through natural means. Your existence goes way back before that. And the word father there means come forth from. So it means you came forth from him. And that's where you find your identity and that's where you find your value. Watch this. But because we haven't understood that, our natural dads have played such a huge part in our life, even if it was super negative. And then people hold the dads accountable. The dads can't recover and they're condemned because they can't make up for lost time. And we have no answers because we're trying to find ourselves through the wrong people. And you got adults that can't even talk about their dad. Or when they do, they're not free. And you think your dad was in bondage? No, you're clay, remember? You've been shaped and molded for years, but it wasn't the pressure of the Father's hand. Something's influencing you, whether you want to believe it or not. Something is making you who you are. Something is influencing your life, period, because you're clay. Man, people don't like that. I can feel that's hard in a good Christian church. It's just like. But it's true. You're clay. But when he shapes you and you become his workmanship created in Christ, now you're ready for good works because they were predestined beforehand that you should walk in them. What's first? His workmanship. Good works ain't first. You don't do the good works to prove the workmanship. That'll create self-righteousness and pride. No, you become the workmanship, and the workmanship changes your heart and your life and your mind and your motives. And all of a sudden, the workmanship, good works. It's like a righteous tree, righteous fruit. Come on, apple tree, apples. Righteous tree, righteousness. This isn't complicated. There's no apple tree out there going... Apple, I know you're an apple. Your bark looks like an apple. Your leaves. I am an apple tree. And then you look down the row. Wait, I don't have as many apples as them, and mine aren't as red and bright. Why does the apple tree bear apples? This isn't rocket science. It's not a test question. Because it's an apple tree. When was it an apple tree? In the seed. So what was Jesus? A seed that fell to the ground. Firstborn among many. And he died and he fell to the ground and he sprung up. And he's bearing much fruit. Christians.
You get it?
Everything's out to reproduce itself after its own kind. So the serpent made a little disciple through deception. She passed the message on to the only other man or person on the earth. And he bought into the message and humanity fell from fellowship with God. And instead of being love and being grafted into the source of love, he's cut off from the source of love. And now he's bankrupt and in desperate need of love. And everyone in this room was born into that deficit. You needed love, support, stability, encouragement, identity from the time you can remember. Your whole way through school, there was so much hanging on the security of who you really were. Some of us are depending on certain people and they let us down and we're crushed. Some of them didn't let us down and we're riding high on their affirmation. But at the same time, they have the power to devastate us because we're using them to make us. They have the power to break us. So we're on thin ice all the time. We're just one shift of relationship away from a meltdown. Because our identity is resting on life, not the giver of it. Come on, you all know what I'm talking about. They laugh at you in grade school and you realize they're laughing at you. And you're young and they're laughing at you. And you either get broken and hurt and insecure and introverted, or you just get hardened and become a fighter. But no matter how you respond, it's not you. It's all hinged on reaction. Remember, you're clay. But you'll grow up and call that your personality type. And somebody will put a letter or a number to it. But it wouldn't be anything that you are if you knew him the whole time. See how deceived it is? You get saved and say, well, I've just always been. We're not talking about always. That person died. That's not. Stop regulating your life to that person you're relating to. You still look the same. You still have that general personality, but you're living from a different place. You have a different belief system. You have a different why in your life. The gospel changes everything. Old things pass away. All things are new. So the motive in your life is even different. Man, nobody owes me anything now. I'm here to love, right? I'm not trying to find myself through you. I found myself through him. Now I'm free towards you. I can finally love. I'm actually platformed to love. I'm not needy. I'm not insecure. I don't come to this church to be built up and encouraged. I come to this church to be part of an army.